Weekdays, TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up, it's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. I'm getting more of that every day. Love, laughter, and lessons learned.
You're going to be a pro any minute.
Oh, yeah. And with me is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not sidekick, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's really raining. We had to sit in the car for a while, but it's a 4th of July weekend.
It's 4th of July, and I'll tell you that we've had a lot of rain, but my flowers are so, so happy. They look so beautiful.
I took flowers to the grave yesterday for my mom's and husband's birthday, and those fancy orchids I took for Mother's Day. It was still alive, but it was waterlogged from all the rain we've been getting.
Yeah, it's been a lot of rain. Well, the rain's not so bad. I don't want any hurricanes. I don't know. As you know, my brother's here visiting with his wife, my brother David and Kathy. David has Parkinson's, and he's testing me to the limit every day. And now they're saying that, you know, that they might get rained in here for a few days, so we're praying to the rain gods to please let them get home safely on Tuesday, because it's time for me to get back to business.
Yeah, because I think it's Monday night or Tuesday morning when it's, you know, if it doesn't switch over, but it shouldn't be a hurricane, maybe a tropical storm.
Yeah,
which is good in the mobile home anyway. Tell David he has to go. I need the bed.
So I like your little headpiece there today.
Oh.
It's kind of like the Statue of Liberty, it reminds
me of.
Yes,
happy
boy. You're always so snazzy.
I know.
I didn't even wear red, white, and blue. I wasn't even thinking about it. I
wore
know
white
why.
And blue. Made a difference. Well, you have white on.
Yeah, I have white on. I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Jenny in St. Pete. We have Martha in Seminole, and we have Viola in Ohio.
Welcome, ladies.
Yes, welcome. Like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers tables for more listeners.
I like the name Viola. My mother had a friend, Viola.
Somebody just told me the other day they had a baby. Oh, her daughter had a baby, and they named her Grace.
I love Grace.
I like that name. That's really
Grace, Faith, Hope.
Well, I saw Faith at the Seminole concert thing last night.
She was there?
Yeah, in Velva. And she said, I have something in my purse that I put in there for you. I didn't know when I was going to see you.
Oh, wow.
And she took it out, and it's made out of the safety pins and the beads, and it's an American flag that somebody gave her on 9/11, and she thought I should have that. Was that
Isn't
so nice?
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, so she gave me that last night. That really perked me up. That was a really nice thing. And we have my friend, Chris McLennan, calling in today. He's the founder and CEO of the Whole Care Network, and he does a whole bunch of other stuff, and I'm so glad that he'll be calling in because he's just a great guy and does a lot of things for caregivers. I will want to say one thing to caregivers, though. So now that a lot of people have been vaccinated and a lot of restrictions have been lifted and we're able to see our loved ones, please go and see them, because I'm hearing again from caregivers where I finally haven't seen Mom in a year.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah. And I went to see her, and Mom's lost 15 pounds, and Mom's house is, like, not really being taken care of, not a lot of good food in the refrigerator. So, because you know what's going to happen. When you call Mom, Mom goes, I'm good. I'm fine, honey. Nothing to worry about. Yes, I'm eating. Because Mom doesn't want to worry you.
No. So, just drove through the neighbor's house, but we're all fine.
Yeah. But it's the truth. So please go and see your loved one, even if you have to drive a bit to get to them or whatever.
Yes.
Because it's really important, because this isolation has hurt a lot of caregivers. And I think some of them, and not even the caregivers, the people that are being cared for, just don't know where to turn next. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done from this time and getting things back together. So please go see your loved one.
Yeah.
Go see your loved one. And I'm very excited to say that things are really coming together for the Caregiver Conference in November.
Exciting, eh?
I'm very excited. The speakers that we are having on are just phenomenal, full of so much information. I'm just so excited about that happening, because every day caregivers are saying to me, we want more, we need more. And I've built this conference around the questions that my caregivers ask me, or the things they tell me I want more information on, because I can't even explain a lot of stuff myself. And I learn more from Tam Cummings every time I hear from her, and Kate McCarty every time I hear from her, yep. and Joel Quattlebaum every time I hear from him. So I'm very excited about that. So we'll keep spreading the word. Is Chris on the line? No, somebody else. Okay. Yeah, so that's a really good thing. And our support groups are opening up again. Arden Quartz is sponsoring a new group, Arden Quartz of Largo, and it's called the Lunchbox Crew Event, designed for dementia caregivers. And it's at the Wild Iris Cafe in Dunedin, and the next one is July 8th at 11 a.m. It says, Arden Quartz invites you to a complimentary lunch for caregivers where you'll be able to order whatever you like from the menu. Caregivers are welcome to bring your loved ones, but do not have to. During this social gathering, caregivers will have a chance just to talk about their experiences. So if you're interested in this, I think this is fabulous. Call Arden Quartz of Largo at 727-559-8411. That's 727-559-8411. Do we have Chris on the line?
Yes, we do.
Hello, my friend. How are you today?
We're doing great. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Yes, it's exciting. Well, actually, today is my daughter's birthday, her 42nd birthday. So happy birthday, Nicole.
Yes.
So it's always a weekend to celebrate, which is a really good thing. So how have you been doing?
All good over here on the east coast of Florida. How about you, you guys over there on the west coast?
Good. Are you having a lot of rain?
No, we just have sunshine.
Well, yeah, we're like that most of the time, but then, you know, sometimes...
This week has been a lot of rain.
This week, we've had a lot of rain, but it makes my flowers so happy.
Yes,
so, so happy. My garden is just, whoa! It's really nice.
Where are you on the east coast, Chris?
I'm in Lake Worth, which is...
Oh, my girlfriend lived there. I know where it is. Yeah. It's lovely.
It's a nice little community, sure.
Yeah.
So, Chris, I'd like you to talk to my listeners and tell them about your caregiving story and how you got to be where you are today.
Oh, well, I always appreciate that opportunity, Linda, and I know you know the story, but I became a caregiver, oh, goodness, it's 10, 11 years ago when my now-deceased partner, Richard Schiffer, was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. And through our journey, we... you know, we started a blog, and then I had a podcast, and still do podcasts, but we were really fortunate to have our story told in a 2015 Pulitzer Prize-nominated story in Sickness and Health, A Couple's Final Journey. And really what it talked about is basically what every caregiver goes through, all the decisions that you have to make,
yeah,
the trials and tribulations. You know, the only thing different about our story is that it was published. Caregivers connected to our story because they could put themselves in our position, you know, making decisions about hospice, doctor's appointments, transportation, end-of-life discussions, all these critical components that go into caregiving that you don't really think about until you're right in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's all the stuff you don't want to talk about.
That's right.
And you think if you talk about it, it might not happen to me, but I hate to say it. I think, you know, we all get that, and now that we're living so much older, so much longer, I think everybody gets a chance at that caregiving experience. I say it's an equal opportunity employer.
I had not heard that before, but I like it.
It's true.
I get it. It's all, we're either going to, like Rosalind Carter said, we're either going to need a caregiver, be a caregiver.
Yep.
There's a couple of other things.
Have been a caregiver, or someone's going to be taking care of you.
Care of you. Mm-hmm. So, yes. For me, it was probably the most important thing and the most joyous role I've ever had in my life. I may not have said that while I was in the midst of it.
Right.
But looking back now, 7+ years, and the advocacy work that I've done for caregivers like you, like two of you, it is an honor to care for somebody, especially at end of life. And I could tell all your listeners out there that who are in the middle of it now that, you know, when that time comes, when it ends, you'll have so many wonderful memories to look back at, and you'll realize that those difficult days that you thought were so hard, you'll reflect and you'll say, you know, the good days far outweighed the bad. The bad days were just
a bad day.
Intense. Yeah.
I have a friend who took care of her husband with Alzheimer's for a long time, and she's a cyclist, actually. They did a lot of cycling. And she said, oh, the only thing I can tell you, Linda, when it was a bad day, it was a good story.
I think I might know who you're talking about.
Is that great?
But that is great. And that's so true. And that's one of the great things about caregivers. When you think about it, there are really no strangers when it comes to caregivers. We all, when we share our stories, we know a little bit about each other, and we can relate to each other very well. That's why I like to say that there's just no strangers in caregivers.
No, they're not. Like we were just saying, my friend Susan Straley, she's in the After the Caregiving Experience now, and she's still on meeting people and sharing her experiences and sharing her book all over the place. And, you know, you just never know when you meet that one person. You may not even know that they're a caregiver in them, but you start chatting a little. And if you can share information with them or resources or just a shoulder, as you say that to the caregiver, you just see their whole demeanor go,
well, I know when Susan was on the show, she talked about something her husband did, and I had an aha moment and felt, oh, wow, I wasn't alone doing it. Because sometimes you think that you're alone, and I'm not a sharer, as you know. And when she said something, I just went, oh, thank you so much. She's fabulous.
Yeah. So, Chris, why do you think sharing our stories is so important?
Well, there's a variety of reasons for that. One, both of you just kind of touched on it here in a second, but second ago. But when we share our stories, it's cathartic for us as the caregiver.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that, you know, to go out and stand on the hill and shout to everybody about your story, because not everybody has that capability. But if you could at least confide in one person, or if you're comfortable sharing your story in a group, it is cathartic, because you find out that you're not the only person doing it.
Well, you know, it's been very interesting. I've been doing a lot of journaling workshops lately, and there are people who say, oh, they don't want to come to a support group, but they'll come to a journaling workshop. So I'll give out a prompt. For instance, I remember when. And they'll start writing, and then they'll start sharing, and someone will say, I remember when I could still have a really good conversation with my husband. And then somebody else goes in the group, yeah, I remember that too. So it's kind of like a support group and a journaling workshop, and just a whole sharing thing together. And when you find that other person, even if it's somebody you don't know that has gone through or is going through the same thing, it makes you feel so much better.
And one of the benefits of the journaling, because I started out blogging, I guess it was in 2011, and now that I can go back to those blog posts and I can reminisce, and I can see and feel and think about what it was at that time in our lives and in our experience, and I can reflect and share that with other caregivers who have come after us, and help them find validation, comfort, resources, respite, which is often those components that we don't learn right away when we're in the midst of caregiving that we wish we would have learned on day one.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? When you get into a support group or anything like that, especially when you're in it for a while and people get to know each other, all of a sudden they start sharing things they wouldn't share with anybody else anywhere. You know, they've been talking a lot, in the support groups lately, they're talking about sex. Nobody talks about that. Nobody wants to talk about that. And one girl started talking about it, and everybody else was like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad you said that.
Yes.
You know, like, I've been going through the same thing. How do you deal with that? And one woman had a lot of really good answers on how to deal with it. So,
you know, I like to say that if there is no other social issue that connects people than caregiving. Caregivers connect people from diverse backgrounds. They connect through their caregiving stories. And because caregiving is indiscriminate, there's no boundaries. Everybody's right. impacted by it. And then when we share our stories, we learn just a little bit about each other. And we find out, you know what? We're really not that much different. We all just want to care for the one we love.
Yeah. And I say that to people all the time. I say, you know, we're all the same schmoes. Say we want to be loved, we want a roof over our head, we want food on the table, maybe some nice things, and we may have different hobbies or interests, but basically we're exactly the same. And when you realize that, you can have so many more fulfilling relationships and experiences, because you're not judging anything, we're just all the same.
We're just all the same.
Yeah.
We're trying to get through our caregiving days, we're trying to find the best resources mm-hmm. for our care partner. I use that word generically.
Yeah.
And we're trying to take care of ourselves, which is also lost in the whole bit of conversation of caregivers.
So. Yeah. Because you know what happens? You become a caregiver either overnight or it's so slow you don't even realize it. You know, when I first started doing right. this for a long time, I had to educate the caregivers who they were before I could help them. Because I'm not a caregiver, I'm the faithful spouse. I'm the good daughter right. or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I find that very interesting. So let's talk a little bit about your book, What's the Deal with Caregiving? I know in the book you talk about the four emotions caregivers might exercise after caregiving ends. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's, mindful that I'm in after caregiving, and we don't, you know, there's two very common aspects to caregiving. There's a beginning. And there's an end, and we're not prepared for either one of these life-changing events. And in my journey after caregiving, I recognized that when I wrote the book, I experienced four different emotions. And I'm going to tack on a fifth one here that I've discovered here in the last year or so. But the four emotions are relief, sadness, guilt, and acceptance. And let me kind of just go through these real quick. You know, relief. You're going to feel relief that it's over, and it's okay to feel that. You know, those nights where you're sleeping yep. with one eye open, you know, those are over, and you realize that, you know, two lives have been changed, and it's okay to feel that relief.
Well, and then there's the relief in that your loved one isn't suffering anymore. I think that's
right.
that's the biggest one.
That's the biggest one. You've done that. You've done the best that you can, and it's okay to feel relief. And then you're going to feel some sadness because the life that you once had with your care partner, whether it's a spouse or a parent or a partner or whatever that pre-established relationship was before caregiving and with caregiving in of itself, that's changed. You know, two or more lives have been forever changed. And there's some sadness there.
Yeah.
And then the guilt component, those what ifs. If I could have just done this one thing different, it would have changed the whole outcome. You know, I like to say our caregiving capes are limited.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't change the destiny of our care partner.
Right.
And the perfect story I have for that, if you don't mind me sharing.
No, go ahead.
Just a little bit. You know, the night that Richard went to hospice, we were just planning on going for a night or two to have his meds changed and that he was going to come back home and everything would be okay.
Right.
Because that's what he always did. He always came back home. Well,
mm-hmm.
Five days into the hospice, I'm standing there asking the doctors, well, why is all this happening? Why isn't he up and around? And they said to me, we don't know how this man has lived as long as he's lived, considering the amount of cancer that's inside of them. It's a testament to the love,
to the will
that the two of you
have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's his will, and you know that there's nothing more that you could have done to change this. And you know, as caregivers, as advocates, you know, we try to do the best that we can, but we also, we're limited in what we can do. You know, and guilt plays, you try to do your best, but you can't go back and change what's happened in the past.
There's some things you just can't change.
There's something you just can't change. And then, you get to that point where you find that acceptance, where you wake up one morning and you say to yourself, you know what? Job well done. I did everything that I knew that I could do. And no matter what me or anybody on the care team could have done differently, your care partner was provided a perfect sunset because you were there.
Well, and I feel... Go ahead.
Yeah, you accept that you did the best that you could have done.
Right. Right. Because my husband just passed away in October, and I'm still going through, I don't know what stage I'm at. I don't have any idea. Sometimes I think I'm okay in my acceptance. Other days I'm like so damn sad. But I do believe that it was one of the most beautiful experiences in my life, and that the end of his life couldn't have been better. So I do find a lot of, I don't have really too much guilt.
Right.
But it's still heavy duty sadness, though. But I don't think that ever really goes away.
I don't think, it changes over time. And, you know, these four emotions that I talk about, it's not automatic. You're not going to go from one to another to another.
Right.
You're going to, you could be experiencing one or more at the same time. But what I can say to you on sharing your beautiful story there, and I've learned this personally, you know, the pain of losing Richard has gotten softer over the years. But the love that we shared is still there.
Yeah.
I just needed to learn how to love him differently.
Hmm. All right. On that note, we need to hear from our sponsors. Please don't go away. We'll be back in a little bit. Okay, Chris?
I'm here.
All right.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Everyone at one time or another experiences so much stress, physical, emotional, and mental, that their brain seems to freeze in place. Lauren McLaughlin has been an emotional support coach for over 25 years and was also a caregiver for her husband John for 10 years. Emotional support coaching for caregivers is all about having the freedom to say out loud, without fear of judgment or criticism, all the random thoughts that have gone in and out of your mind. Many caregivers receive enough help in one session to create their own healing plan. Others may want a bit more coaching, but Lauren McLaughlin has a maximum limit of 3 sessions. If you sincerely want to build a new future, that much coaching will be more than enough. All sessions are on Zoom for 45 minutes. Contact Lauren by email at godbless@tampabay.rr.com to set up an appointment for your caregiver support coaching session. Caregiver support sessions were previously priced at $45. They are now available to our listeners on a love offering basis. You decide what price you want to pay for your personal session.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue
for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
Remember, caregivers, people want to help you, so when they offer, say, thank you very much. So Chris, Lynn and I were just talking for a second. What about the emotion of numbness?
The emotion of numbness.
Like Lynn said, when her husband died, she just felt numb. Mm-hmm.
Before I accepted it, I just sat and looked at the beach for days. I don't know, I was numb from everything that had happened, I guess.
Well, I think part of it, too, is exhaustion.
Could be.
Yeah, I think there's a... I hadn't thought about the word numbness, but it really is appropriate because it's such a life-changing... caregiving is a life-changing experience, and then after it ends, it's another life-changing experience, and you do become numb. I had not thought of it in that fashion before, but goodness, I'm looking back now 7 years, and
yeah,
I used to go and sit at the beach.
Yeah, we get it.
Field Beach. It's like just kind of like
almost not thinking, looking.
Yeah,
like just looking, and you know, and there are days I was just looking for him. It's like you know, because you had lives are so much intertwined, and you do things together all the time, and then you go to those same places, and
yeah,
it's not the same.
Well, you know, recently I went to Michigan for a family event. Was so happy to see my family, and my grandson went with me, and he pulled this fishing hat out of my closet that my husband had given me. It's a goofy fishing hat. And he said, I want to wear this hat. And I go, and it has a Yankee emblem on it. I go, you hate the Yankees. He says, I don't care, Grandma. I like the hat. And I was like, well, Grampy gave me that hat. You know, like, that hat's kind of important to me, you know, like, whatever. And so most of the time he was there wearing the hat. One night, the whole family's sitting around a bonfire having some cocktails, and I just start crying. I miss my husband so much. That was one of our most favorite places. And I'm like, I wish he would just talk to me. And my daughter goes to me, open your eyes, Mom. Look at the hat. And I was like, yes, yes, he's here, you know, kind of thing. But she's like, open your eyes, Mom. Look at the hat.
Yeah, you brought out a very good point there about these moments that happen after caregiving ends where it's just kind of sporadic.
Yeah.
I mean, I could remember numerous times where I'd be driving down the road and something would come to my mind, or there'd be a memory or a song on the radio, and I'd have to pull off to the side of the road and just have a good cry.
Yeah.
Give yourself the permission to do that. It's okay.
And you do feel better after that cry.
You do feel better, and you feel connected.
Yeah.
Do you know the funny thing? I could not listen to any music after my husband died. He died in September. Except Christmas music. But anything else that came on, I would start crying. But Christmas music, I don't know why.
Maybe because Christmas was a really happy time for you guys. You always had big decorations and a big Christmas. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
And they're not love songs.
Yeah, not too many. So, Chris, you said earlier there was a fifth emotion.
Yeah, the fifth emotion, and this is, as I reflect on, my life after caregiving and having the privilege to talk to people across the country about this, there comes a time after you go through these four emotions, the relief, sadness, guilt, and acceptance, that you got to take action.
Hmm.
You have to take action on your own life, and you have to live life in the moment. I used to live life in the past. I wanted to recreate what the past was, but
you can't really do that.
You can't really do that, and I think the metaphor that I'd like to use is, you know, think of plants or flowers. In order for them to have new blooms, they have to be watered. And for us, after caregiving ends, you know, in order for us to have new blooms, we need to have nourishment. We need to find new soil. We need to have that water. And it, again, it happens in your own time, but you have to take action.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like learning how to be a caregiver to yourself.
Hmm.
And focusing on your needs instead of somebody else's needs. Now, that's not meant in a negative sense or any ego. It's just the reality that if you've been caregiving for 10 days or 10 years, most people in that role are totally focused on the life of somebody else.
Yeah.
And you have to come back to that point of taking action on your own life and finding your own identity.
Yeah. One of my caregivers said to me a couple of weeks ago, I forgot that I like to read.
Right.
She goes, I used to read all the time. Well, when my husband was ill, there was no time for reading. She goes, and my husband's been gone, you know, almost a year now. And she goes, the other day I just picked up this book and I was like, oh, this is fabulous. And I could actually sit here for 3 hours and just read it.
I was also told, though, after someone... you lose somebody, never move for a year. You should give yourself 1 year because you're not thinking straight. After 5 years, I'm not thinking so straight. But, yeah. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No, you're right. It's there's different... people react to things differently. I'm the poster child of what not to do after caregiving ends. I moved after 6 months.
Well, you gave yourself half the time.
I gave myself half.
I did a year and a half. You can have my half a year.
They were good. So now we fit in together.
Yeah.
There you go.
But again, it this speaks of the importance of sharing the stories.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's listeners out there who are contemplating this in and of themselves. And when they can hear what other people have gone through and how they've processed it, we hope that we, even if we just touch one person with our story,
right,
we know that we're helping somebody.
Yeah. And then they, and then that one story touches them, and then they tell somebody else. And that's the best part of all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we just celebrated Pride Month in June. Let's talk about the differences that LGBT seniors and their caregivers face, because I don't think we have enough conversation on that.
Well, I appreciate that opportunity to talk about that, because you know, as I referenced earlier, my partner Richard, it's, you know, it was obvious that it was.
Yes,
it was.
I don't know too many women named Richard.
Oh goodness, he would be laughing hard at that one.
He is laughing.
He is laughing. You know, one of the, and I'm going to just kind of go back and reference our story here, and for your listeners,
yeah,
the story is still available online. It's In Sickness and Health, A Couple's Final Journey. It was written by the Sun Sentinel. The story has been, even though it's 7 years old, it's been read by over 500,000 people worldwide.
So
I
fabulous.
Still get comments about the story today. And what the story talked about was everyday challenges that caregivers face. The unique thing that Richard and I faced as a same-sex couple, and mindful that marriage equality was not not the land, law of the land at
right.
that time. You know, we did experience some discrimination at the hospital. We did experience a little bit of challenges with medical personnel and legal personnel that we did not have previous relationships with. So one of the differences for us was I always had to carry my green folder with me, which had all of our legal documents.
Right.
To get advance directives, power of attorney, healthcare proxies, so that if I ran into a problem.
Yeah, you were armed.
I had my authority, but even with that, with, you know, with the LGBT seniors, we have to be mindful that while in some areas today it's a little bit more widely accepted, LGBT seniors grew out of a time when it wasn't accepted.
Right.
And now they're having to access services that as they were growing up in their 20s and 30s and 40s were always difficult for them. And so those are some of the differences.
Well, I've heard stories where a community wouldn't take a couple.
Yeah.
That a couple that had been together for like 45 years, and they wouldn't want them to come in and live there together. What?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, it's, you know, and those are the fears that LGBT seniors always have and access. I should say always have. That's, I shouldn't be that presumptuous, but it's not uncommon for LGBT seniors not to access services
right.
that they might need because of fear of discrimination, because of having to go back into the closet per se, so that they could have their services. And that's why, you know, I think one of the reasons our story was so successful and people from all walks of life related to it was because they could put themselves in our position.
Well, and your story is such a true love story.
It
and a love story changes people's minds.
A love story changes people's minds, and they could and they could see the love that the two of us had,
right,
and still have,
right.
And that's why, as I continue my advocacy work for caregivers, you know, I talk freely about our story because I know it connects with people.
Yeah.
Were you retired at this time, Chris?
No, I'm still working. I work for myself with my own little, with my podcast and radio network. And.
But you weren't going, you were with him every day?
Working at the time. I was, right, yes, I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. I work full time. And it was quite a balance trying to manage him full time and manage the job. But luckily, I worked for a social service agency that got what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, they understood the importance.
They supported you.
They supported me. Not for one day did I have to worry about my job.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I know that caregivers, no matter what side of the fence you're on, if you're a working family caregiver, they don't self-identify often at work because of fearful of being called out or losing their job or not taking a promotion.
Yeah,
I'm happy to say, as I look back in 2013 and 2014 to today, there's much more conversation and changes going on in the workspace caregiving situation because caregiving is more in the forefront now than it was back then. People are talking about it.
Yeah,
the stories that we share are relatable to everybody. That there's somebody in your work environment is a caregiver.
Yes.
It could be your boss, it could be the owner, it could be a coworker, and they've not talked about it because of a variety of reasons. But when they come out and talk about it, they realize, you know, there's some common ground here.
Well, I tell you, in one of my support groups, there's a woman that comes to the group and she works full time. So she takes her lunch the time of the support group. The support group's like 11 o'clock in the morning. And so one of the girls in the office, they ask her, what are you doing on that thing? And she told her, it's a support group. Oh, you take care of your husband? I take care of my grandmother. Oh, another girl. Now four girls from that office come to the support group.
Right.
And none of them knew that the other one was caregiving.
None of them knew. I often like to tell the story of the new employee who finds himself in the lunchroom. Unsure, not sure, doesn't really know anybody, and the CEO sits down next to him. And they don't have anything really in common, but they small talk, they try to talk about sports, and then one of them mentions, you know, my wife is sick and I'm caring for her. And then the other one says, you know what, I'm caring for my parent. And all of a sudden they have something in common.
Yeah.
And they can build from that common experience, and they learn a little bit about each other. They share resources.
Yeah.
And they recognize that they're not in this by themselves. And that's it just kind of proves the point with your group there. The more comfortable we are talking about this, the more we realize that there are so many of us in these positions that want to be able to help.
Yeah. Yeah, and the biggest thing is just to know you're not alone. Just to know you're not alone. Nobody wants to be alone.
Nobody wants to be alone.
All right, Chris, we need to hear from our wonderful partners. Please don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
And we're off. You know what that means. Get your pen and paper. Lynn's got good stuff to tell you.
Yeah, I don't need a lot of paper. I have one event that I want to talk about. Debbie Sell Savage, president of Coping with Dementia, is having live seminars in Citrus Hills at Grand Living on July 14th, August 11th, and September 8th. Please call 352-422-3663 or 352-301-8500. That's it.
It's good to hear some live stuff is happening. And like I said earlier, Thursday, July 8th, the Lunchbox Crew event sponsored by Arden Courts in Dunedin, Florida. If you're interested, just send me an email and I'll send you the information. Also, my friend Tony Giddles is having a free masterclass, Heartfelt Conversations and Solutions with Tony. It's Tuesday, July 6th from 7 p.m. to 8:15 Eastern Standard Time. And I can send you the information on this, and not this Monday, but next Monday is my monthly caregiver journaling workshop at 11 o'clock.
Oh.
So that you can find, just go to my website and it's on there. All right, Chris, what can we do to help the LGB community with caregiving?
Oh, goodness. I think it's very similar to any caregivers. Be present to them.
And talk about it.
Well, I think in as far LGBT caregivers, and I've written and talked about this often, there's really not too much different.
Right.
We all just want to care for the one that we love.
Right.
I think for LGBT caregivers, extend that warm greeting.
Yeah.
Let them know that that you care, that you're an ally.
Yeah.
That and if you see, if you see or you witness somebody being
not treated properly,
stand up for them.
Yeah.
Be present for them and with them, because you're mindful in any caregiving situation. You know, we want to be advocating for the person that's entrusted in our care. The last thing that we want to have to be doing in the middle of that is trying to defuse a very difficult situation because of somebody's misunderstanding of a relationship.
Yeah.
And if you're a witness to that,
speak
up. Kind of step in. Speak up. Act up. That's all.
There you go.
It's a whole other conversation. But just let them know that you're supportive.
Yeah. Chris, what's the last thing you'd like to say to my caregivers today?
Oh, goodness. Take good care of yourself and know that this is while this is a very, could be a very difficult journey, it is a very beautiful journey. And I'm just honored to be able to share some of my experiences with your listeners
today. And where can my listeners find you?
They could find me at chris@thewholecarenetwork.com, and you can visit me at the Whole Care Network and look up my podcast, Healing Ties from the Bowtie Guy.
Fabulous. So great having you on the phone, on the show today, and I need to talk to you during the week. We just need to catch up.
Anytime. It's great being with you all today, and continued success with your show. It's awesome.
Thank you, my friend. Have a delicious day.
Okay.
I love speaking with him. He's just
very nice man.
And he's just a calm person. He makes you feel good. And he's always got that smile on his face. And you see, he always wears a bow tie. So they call him the bow tie guy.
I didn't know that. But I don't know. When I saw his picture, all I thought, he has those mischievous eyes. I don't know what it is. It's like cute.
He's cute as heck. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody, this week. You know how much we appreciate you. Tell a friend about the show. Please go to my YouTube channel and subscribe, because the more people that do that, the more exposure I get, the more caregivers we get to help. Once again, I appreciate you being here with us. Come back again next week. We'll have a lot of great information. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend. Please be careful. One more happy birthday to my daughter, Nicole. I love you very much. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name. I'm down now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Spring, summer, or fall, yeah. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you got a friend? People can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you. Will it take your soul if you let them? Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, baby, don't you know about winter, spring, summer, or fall?
now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes I will. You've got a friend.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. That collapsed condo building in Surfside, Florida is being demolished tomorrow. The death toll has risen.